Let's have a wee word of prayer. Amen. Dear love and heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. And for, Lord, the life and health and strength to be here. I pray you for Colm and Will, and for Steve, for Pat too, Lord. For all those that have been gone. I pray for those that maybe need to find Bethel and get here, Lord. For new folks, but most importantly, we pray for your will to be done. That you would bless our time in your presence. And that you would be one of our number, Lord. We love you and praise you. And thank you for loving us. Please be with our brothers and sisters wherever they might be, Father. And so we open the full preach the full counsel of your word. Please bless them. We love you and thank you. Please be one of our number. Please lead us and guide us through the service, Father. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's take our wee black books this morning. Wee black books. Got a few hymns picked. All I have to do is find them. There we go. Hymn number 26 to start with. Hymn number 26 in the wee black books is Because He Lives. We're going to be doing a black book today. You've heard of black tie occasions. This is a black book occasion. Amen. We'll remain seated for hymn number 26.
He came to life.
words. If you want to just scoot over one page to number 28, we'll sing Calvary Covers It All. Your label will stand as we sing.
Farther than all that the world can impart, one Morning's reading is from Isaiah chapter 26. In that day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nations which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, he layeth it low even to the ground, he bringeth it even to dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Doth thou most upright, doth weigh the path just. Yea, in the way of thy judgment, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee, in the night, yea, with my spirit. Within me will I seek thee early, for when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favour be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness in the land of the uprightness, will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed for their envy at the people, yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nations, O Lord, and hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified, thou hast removed it far unto all the end of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like a woman with a child that draweth near the time of her deliverance, of her delivery, is in pain, and cried out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have as it were wrought forth wind, we have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live together, with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. But behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Amen. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Amen. Thank you for that. Was that
a
joint effort?
That's a word 45 critical beat.
Amen. Thank you, Steve, as well. Does that make Steve the brains and you the brawn?
Well, it's come back from there.
Just want to remind everybody about the prayer list. Please make sure that you have one. take a moment or two, at least once in the week, to go over, even if you don't know who those names are, the Lord does. And there is somebody waiting for be waiting for their name to be called out in heaven. So please do not forget to have a look over that. Are there any other prayer requests we need to add to this? I can't think of any either. We have been doing some work up at the house trying to get things organized. Things have been left lying a lot since before Christmas. So please do pray for us. And things are advancing and heading on, so we're glad of that. And also ask that you would remember Will rang me this morning to say that he was sick. He did sound sick over the phone. Pray for him. Colin contacted me this morning to say that he was sick. Please do pray for him. And you miss Frank as well, but please pray for him and his upcoming hospital visit. Please pray for my wife and her tickly throat, whatever it is that's going on there. For her mum. Mum's not doing very well at the moment. Please do pray for her. And Norman's leg's progressing. Don't mind me saying. Please do remember that as well. Those are just the health issues. Lord knows there's a whole lot of other things going on in our lives. So I think that really comes under private prayer requests. And I have Monica and myself, Lynn and Norman and Pat and Will and even Colin and Steve down there. So I think we all still have some private prayer requests that we've heard about, yeah. Still private prayer requests. All right. I think that's really about that. There's not really much has changed. It's that time of year when things are very quiet, but you know, life goes on, so just keep praying for each other. There's a lot of stuff going on in the news and in the country. Keep your wits about you and keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes, most importantly, and on the Lord. And keep the Bible much in your heart. There are many different stories going around. What do they call it today? There are many different narratives. There's only one that counts. It's in the Word of God. Don't forget. Let's have a wee word of prayer and then we'll continue. Dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again that no matter the day and where they are, we can come before you in prayer. Lord, a few things I just want to bring to your attention. Our missing members, Frank, Tom, and Will, Pat, and Steve. For all those that have been and gone and really should still be here, Lord, I pray your good hand upon them. For those that have slipped and slipped and compromised, Lord, I pray that you would restore. For those that are lost, Lord, that we have communications with, Father, I pray for their salvation. For the folks on the road, for the people in the town, for the people round about Milltown and Ivy Mead, Lord, that received the leaflets in yesterday morning. Please, Father, I pray you speak to us so about the eternity, about getting out to church, about hearing the gospel. Father, you know also what's going on in the corridors of power in this country and in other countries, all the countries around the world. I pray you, Father, please, that your presence would be felt, that you would constrain those that are set upon just badness and wickedness, Lord, and evil. I pray you, Father, that you would oppose them at every turn. And for those, Lord, that are doing the right thing, doing your will, Lord, I pray you bless them. Please bless us now, Father, as we take this time and lift up your praises. And please lead and guide us through the preaching of your word and the closing out of the service. And Lord, if it would be at all possible, prepare us a way to be up at the present moment this afternoon. Father, we love you and thank you. Just leave these things at your feet. And we pray for them all, including our private prayer requests, Lord, and our medical issues. We pray for them all in the name of Son Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take our wee black hymnbook again. The wee black hymnbook. It's our last one of the day. Let's see what this one is. Yep. Hymn number 29, if you'd like to take and turn there. Hymn number 29. Precious Lord, take my hand. some hymns just for a bit of a joy to sing, and that's one of them that really could be doing with another verse on it. Mrs. Bradfield, would you mind playing hymn number 20 for us? Number 20 in the wee black books. And then I will open the Bible and you can have a rest from singing for 15 or 20 minutes or half an hour. Let's stand as we sing as you only touch the hem of his garment. Chapter 7 today, if you'd like to join me there in John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse number 14. A good rule of thumb for you, in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, it talks about the 144,000. If you ever have a Jehovah's Witness friend and you want to see what the Bible really says about the 144,000, look at Revelation 7 and Revelation 14. Amen. John chapter 7, beginning at verse number 14. I would like to, I don't have a snappy title for the message this morning, but I would like to, maybe reactions would be a good snappy title, but I would like to spend a little bit of time this morning just on the subject of how people react to meeting Jesus Christ. I have Christ's challenge, I have changed, and I left space for longer titles, but I think reactions is actually a good title. John chapter 7, beginning at verse number 14, let's just see what the Word of God has for us this morning. We're going to be reading up until verse 53, which is the end of the chapter. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, never having learned?" And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why do you go about to kill me? The people answered and said, Why is the devil who goeth about to kill thee? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive the circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. And then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture saith that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers and the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. And Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? And they answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk about a lot of people that met with Jesus Christ and who came away better because of it. But this little portion of Scripture, well, substantial portion of Scripture, gives us a great indication into what happened whenever the religious people of the country met with Jesus. When religion and real Christianity meet, there is always a reaction. It's like baking soda and vinegar. There's going to be a reaction. Let's have a quick word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, please take and guide us by the hand. Precious Lord, take our hand and guide us through this portion of Scripture as we just consider it and think about it and consider our own reaction to our meeting with you. Bless us, Lord, and wherever your word is being opened and preached and people are listening to it, I pray you, Father, please, it will be help. Love you and thank you. And we pray, Father, please, for your good hand upon each one of us and upon those that could and should be here. And Father, that you would make this happen. Please, Lord, I pray you for our daily spiritual bread. We have never needed it more than we have in these days. We love you and thank you. Amen. Just speaking of these days, I want to draw your attention to something. Just in the last few verses of this portion of God's Word, these are the words that were not spoken by the disciples. In fact, the last maybe 10 verses were actually spoken in the company of the scribes and the Pharisees. There were no believers there, you would think, except for Nicodemus, who by this time, I do believed on God and stood up for Jesus and recorded what actually happened, the words that were spoken and the way they behaved whenever they were in their own company. Amen. This portion of God's Word deals with the Lord revealing himself to anyone and everyone as the Son of God. It begins, or at least our little portion of it begins, with God in the form of the flesh, Jesus Christ, contending with him and speaking from the Scriptures, and everybody being astounded that a simple carpenter would know of the finer details of the Bible. And time again, as they consider the works of Jesus Christ, and even very, very recently, whenever he healed the man, I think it was with the withered arm, how they got really bent out of shape, and how religious people and people that are doing their best to consolidate their power and establish their own little kingdoms will get bent out of shape by the right thing. And the Lord goes on to speak to them about how in following the law they will circumcise a child on the, I think it's on the 7th or 8th day, but they got bent out of shape about a man being healed. Anyway, they ask this question, well, we have seen all these things that Jesus has done. When the Messiah comes, the actual Son of God, what more could he do? What more miracles? The greatest of which is raising someone back to life from the dead, which he did quite a few times, just to prove who he was. And you know, goodness, miracle after miracle. And even including, and we'll mention her in a little bit, the woman with the issue of blood that touched the hem of his garment. Instead of immediately surrendering to Jesus Christ, instead of speaking to his mother, where was Jesus born? She would have told them it was in Bethlehem, the city of the great king. And how come you live in Galilee now? And she would have told them because in the days of Herod, Herod was a madman, and we were warned of impending doom if we stayed, so we left and went into Egypt. And then we were coming back again, and we heard about his son, I think it was, reigning in his stead, and we diverted into Galilee. And then he would say, it is Out of Egypt have I called my son, in the city of the great king. A virgin shall be with child. Three prophetic statements that all converged on the birth of Jesus Christ. They wouldn't believe. But they didn't want to believe. And there is always a danger. Whenever people with wealth, influence, and power, and social standing take their eyes off of God, which these men had done many, many years, maybe decades, and maybe hundreds of years previously, as a people. Whenever you take your eyes off of God, something else will always set itself up in your life as God. Something else will always demand that place in your life. And it can lead to people doing awful things. It says in 1 Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. And people, whenever they have their eyes off of God, if you love God and everything you do is for God, you're going to do the right thing. But if you love money, evil people have money and they can give you money and make you do evil things. It's really that simple. Or if you're someone that's highly esteemed in society, at the threat of losing that position and all the benefits it brings, you will do anything. We even see it here in these days, in our own governments, and in the governments of other countries around the world. The out-and-out wickedness and evil that is rampant at every turn, so much so that just like these scribes and Pharisees, they didn't even bother to hide it anymore. A man that never did anything for himself, who always, everything that he did, was to bring glory to God and point people to him for salvation, for our benefit. He was the most hated man by the religious elite because they knew deep down they were liars and thieves and murderers. He said as much. They were of their father, the devil, and they couldn't bear to lose their position in society. They should have surrendered. They should have worshipped Jesus. And they said, we've been waiting for you for 400 years. But we love what we have more than we love God. Whether it's money, whether it's wealth, assets, whether it's power, whether it's glory, whether it's your standing in society. If you put it before God, you're on the road to nowhere. In fact, that's wrong. You're on the road to hell. As we read through this portion of God's word too, there's something else. There are at least three or four references there to the times that the religious people wanted to arrest or oppose or persecute Jesus. Verse 25, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Verse number 32, the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him or to arrest him. Verse number 44, even though they tried, some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. And verse 45, they said to the chief priest, why have you not brought him? And in verse 47, when they said they were persuaded by his words, it says, have any of the scribes or the Pharisees believed on him? If they had really done their homework, they would know that a few had. Are you fooled? Just because we important people say something, that's the way it is. Anything else is a lie, and that's not the truth. We see the reaction of religion to Christianity, and it's never a good one. Those that have believed, that have a heart that is tender and aimed towards God, that will seek out the Lord and will open their hearts to the scriptures, always respond positively to the word of God. Those that love money and power and glory, their opposition to God is brought into sharper focus or greater contrast, and it's easier to see. It's more prevalent. Those that didn't know, really got to consider all the things that Jesus didn't think for himself. Everybody had a decision. Every soul had a reaction. And it's about 11:45 right about now. I've got about 10 examples. Maybe 12. 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got more than 12. You consider the soldiers, the tax collectors, and Joe and Jane public that was affected by the preaching of John the Baptist of the gospel of God. Many of them were believers. They came asking questions. How should we be different? What should change? What is our reaction to adopting? Well, not adopting the scriptures, but letting God adopt us. And you remember John said, don't be violent, be content with your wages, don't be defrauding anybody, and said to Joe and Jane public, help each other out. You think about the time whenever the Lord did the miracle of turning the water into wine, when everyone was brought to their senses and made better. And an example was given to the head of the feast that, well, things with Christ go better. Everything is better whenever you have your wits about you. Whenever Nicodemus visited Jesus one night, there's not much said about Nicodemus from the three chapters previous until now, but even now we can already see that Nicodemus is a changed man. Three chapters later, Nicodemus put his faith in God Almighty. We remember also the lame man that was let down through the roof by his four friends. He was healed by Jesus. He went away definitely a better man. The maniac of Gadara that came screaming and shouting down to Jesus and the disciples when they set foot on that farm on the shores of the Gadarenes. He left Jesus' presence a changed man. Instead of being a naked maniac that used to cut himself, whom no man could bind, the people found him clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Definitely in a better state. I want you to bear in mind that even though he was tormented by a legion of devils, he still had power enough and control enough to run to the presence of God and let God do his work. When we mention the name of Lazarus, we can't help but think, as far as we're concerned anyway, that Lazarus was a better man after Christ raised him from the dead. And through that, many people believed. Do you remember Jesus and Peter walking on the water? When you see things like that, you can't help but be put in awe of the power of God. And for the fishermen out there that find it difficult to hook a fish, whenever the season starts, remember when Jesus commanded the fish to hop into the net in the middle of the day? And all of a sudden, just who exactly he was made plain to Peter, for he cried, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And you remember when they were challenged about who's the boss, is it Caesar or God? And Jesus said, "You render unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God." And then Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, go and throw a hook in that water there, and the first fish you pull up, take the penny out of its mouth, and give it for our taxes, just to keep them happy." Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Plagued with it for over a decade, I think it was 12 years. And spent everything trying to get better, because whenever you're like that, nothing else matters. And she only touched the hem of his garment. The Lord perceived virtue had gone out of him. And her reaction to Jesus Christ was to walk away a different woman. Do you think she would say anything bad about God? Why would I say anything bad about God? He saved my life. And guess what? He saved my soul for the endless ages of eternity. We bear in mind the crippled man that the disciples and the Lord came across at the foot of Siloam. You know, the one that used to bubble and the things would, when an angel went down through it and the first one in was healed. Do you think he came away a worse man? He did not indeed. He was healed. And I am sure if a few others had called out to God when he was there, he would have healed them too, because the Lord said, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Gentile's daughter, who came to the Lord and his disciples and said, Lord, please save my daughter, she's beset with the devil. And Jesus said to her, it's not fit to give the children's meat unto dogs. In other words, I'm not come to tend to the Gentiles, I'm come to tend to the Jews. And the woman said, that's the truth, Lord. But even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the children's table. He said, great is your faith. And he healed her daughter. The widow woman's son, whose life was coming to an end almost as quickly as her own son's did, who was being born on a funeral bier to his burial, and the Lord called him back to life. How do you think her life went? What was her reaction? How do you think her life from that day on went? She had her son back, she had a future, she might have grandkids, a daughter-in-law, all of those things. She came away a better woman. The young fella, he was brought back to tend to his mom and his wife, and you know what? I am sure to give more than a little bit of glory to God. Remember Peter's wife's mother, who was sick in her bed whenever they went to his house, and the Lord healed her, and she came and ministered to her? What was her reaction to Jesus quite literally putting his hand on her? It was a better one. Or the thousands that were fed with a couple of packed lunches twice. That was more of a physical miracle, but it would have a profound effect on many. They were saved from starvation in the wilderness. I think some of them had continued on with them for a few days. And that doesn't even mention the time the lepers came to them and Jesus actually touched them and took our sins and iniquities and diseases upon himself. The others that just called and cried out to him, please heal us. What about blind Bartimaeus or the other two blind men? What about those who couldn't speak or those who couldn't hear? Those whose limbs quite literally grew back or were healed. There's not one of them came away from Jesus saying, man, I wish I'd never met with Jesus. There's not one saved soul who is walking and talking with God that can honestly say, I wish I'd never met Jesus. I wish I'd never met him. For all the great things that they had to give up in the world, the Lord had always something 100 times better. And of course, you know, Paul the Apostle that we were speaking about the other day. Do you think he was sorry he met with Jesus? I don't think so. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had a rising career. He quite literally might have been the most important man back in the day in Judaism. He said, as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, blameless as touching the law. Nobody could point the finger at him and say he'd ever done anything wrong. And he gave it all up to obey the Lord God Almighty. And if you were to ask every single one of those people today, and all of the souls that have trusted in Jesus Christ ever since, do you regret meeting with Jesus? What do you think they're all saying? You have got to be joking. We have walked the streets of gold. We have seen Jesus with our own eyes. We have seen our Heavenly Father with our own eyes. And we can see the Holy Spirit. We have seen the angel. We have spoken to them all. And we have seen all of those others that trusted in Jesus Christ. What was our reaction to meeting Jesus Christ? It was, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please save me. Lord, I have a great need. Please help me. But that's not the only reaction. If you cast your mind back to the rich young ruler, he was a good young fellow, followed the commandments and treated everybody right, but he said, Lord, there's something missing in my life. And the Lord said, the problem is you love money more than you love me. And the rich young ruler left sorrowing because he had great riches and it had such a great hold upon his heart. Now, before you ask, it's not a sin to have money. Enjoy every single penny of it and use it wisely. But when money has such a grip on you that is your only thought from one end of the day to the next, then you're in trouble. Remember Caiaphas and Ananias, the two priests that wheeled and dealed and schemed to get Jesus onto the cross? Remember Pilate and Herod? All of these people who were under the power of the Romans and Herods, and there was always enmity and there was always trouble between them. There was always friction. The Bible actually records that Pilate and Herod were made friends the day that they shuffled Jesus back and forward because they had been at enmity before time. Isn't it interesting how evil people can always find common ground? Those that love and use power, wealth, and influence to subjugate and to aggrandize themselves are always threatened by God. Because they love it so much, but don't realize that it's temporary. And someday it's going to come back to me, God says. And you're going to be asked a few questions as to what actually did you do with it. Instead of humbling yourself in the sight of God, of humbling themselves in the sight of God, admitting their sin, they rejected them and persecuted believers. Just like literally, using the words of Isaiah 14 and the five I wills of the devil, I'll be like God, I'll make the decision. They will try and stop the gospel. They will make life difficult for those that promote the gospel, to arrest, even to death, so that they are not convicted by the preaching of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and minds. The word of God, and even the very presence of those that love him, is enough to ruin their days. But you see, for those without these delusions of grandeur, and believe you me, you might say, but we don't live in days like that. We do. We live in days where men are that deluded that they think they're a woman trapped in a man's body. Or we live in the days when people are so deluded that they think they're a woman trapped in a man's body. Did I just say that, or the other way around? We live in the days when people are that deluded that they think days, years of their lives spent in the gym is going to equate to an eternity of feeling good and being fit and able. People are that deluded that they think money will solve all of their problems. That they think wealth and influence and power will solve all of their problems. Or that they think worshiping the devil and having this power that he, in quotes, pretends to give people will solve all of their problems. And you know what the Bible says about Joe Public that has his head screwed on, that has to work for a living, that has people depending on him that he loves and gladly cares for. Do you know what the Bible says about that guy? It says, the common people heard him gladly. The words of Christ are like meat and potatoes for the soul. Or as it says in Matthew 11, come unto me all ye labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. There you go. It's rest to the soul. There's one other group that we didn't mention, that's the little children. In Matthew chapter 18, this is what Jesus said. He said, do not despise one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, because they don't know their left hand from their right hand, every little child has an angel that reports what's going on in that little child's life to God. Remember what happened when the little children were brought to Jesus. He blessed them. Didn't need to be saved. They belonged to him already. He blessed them. That was their reaction. They had no reaction. They were quite literally in the presence of the man that had them in the palm of their hand. I want to leave you with a wee thought. And not just for yourself, but whenever you're conversing or dealing with other people. It doesn't matter who you are. Honestly, it doesn't. Someday, and it's probably happened already, you will meet with Jesus Christ. And bear in mind, you'll not see this stereotypical picture of a man with a scraggly beard and white robes like Robert Powell did in Jesus of Nazareth. He looked like a Jewish man, because that's what he was. The Bible actually says his face will shine with power and this, that, and that. You'll not always meet him like that. And just the same way that the Lord said to the sheep and the goats, said to the sheep, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. And inasmuch, he said to the goats, as you haven't done it to the least of these, my brethren, you haven't done it to me. It would be a soul that has given a gospel tract, or has shared a word of the scriptures, or has given a good example of the difference that God makes in a life. Just about everybody has met with Jesus Christ, even to the looking around you of the creation. In Romans chapter 1 it says, the invisible things of God are clearly seen through the creation of the world, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Even in Russia and in China and in North Korea, where gospel preaching is, when I say frowned upon, that's in quotes, and you can end up in prison for it, they still have the creation. Everybody has a reaction to Jesus Christ. You will either accept him or reject him. You can't sit in the fence. You know what the Lord said about fence sitters? He said it in the book of Revelation. He said, because you're neither hot nor cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. In other words, I will reject you. What is people's reactions to Jesus Christ? What is our reaction to Jesus Christ? What difference has it made in our lives that it doesn't, that there isn't in the lives of those that rejected him? The Word of God says, and it was written many years ago, says you'll know you're saved, you'll know you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. Because you love God and you want to keep his commandments, you want to please. If that is your reaction, friends, I would say you're riding high in the hog. If that is not your reaction, I would urge you urgently to make a decision for Christ before it's everlasting to you. There will be a reaction, there will be a change when you meet with Jesus. Every single one that has ever met with Jesus and crowned him as king in their life and asked him to be their savior has never regretted. God bless you. Thank you for your good time. We're going to stop there, and we're going to close with one of our hymns from the Black Book, which I just happened to have chosen earlier. I think it's a suitable, God be with us till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. I can just remember the number for it. That's the one we'll sing. Where are you? There we are. Hymn number 19 in the Black Books. Hymn number 19, God be with you till we meet again. And if you're fit, we'll stand as we sing.
God be with you.
this morning, 12:10. It's a good day to be seated in the house of the Lord. Pray you have a good rest of your day. The doors will be open at 7 this evening and 7 on Wednesday again. In the meantime, let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this little bit of time you set aside. Pray, Lord, the songs and the tithes and the offerings and the fellowship would be all according to your will. And thank you for your help with the message, Lord. Please help us always to up, Lord, just be your good child. Bless us as we part company, Father, I pray, and see us safely home. And whatever's going on in this country, Lord, I pray that you would save lives and save souls. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for all.